Context aware research support. Okay,
Yes,
recording
so.
started. So, yeah, please take it away.
Okay,
Thanks.
I'm Maria Rosaria from MIT Group. We work also in CMS. And together with Pietro Christoph and team and Matthew Russo from the other part of MIT from the computer science group, we are trying to set up ARCHI. So let me explain you what ARCHI is. So ARCHI stands for AI Augmented Research Chat Intelligence, and the vision is to have it as an open source end-to-end framework, and with the idea to provide large language model services that access also some specific knowledge relevant to specific use case. The augment of the knowledge is done via RAG, as was also discussed in previous talks. And the idea is to focus this service for education, operation, and research purposes. So let me go a little bit to explain some basic element. So
Is
first,
it just me, or is there an interruption in service? Because I don't see the slides.
no, the slides are black right now. Maybe it's a problem of internet connection.
I think it's better if somebody else actually shows the slides who is on a more reliable network, and then we kind of just say next slide or something like this.
So I can do it or pause. Do you want to do it for her as you prefer?
I mean, you do it. Why
I
not?
can do it. Then let me just quickly open them.
Yes, I don't know why, but okay.
Okay. It's okay. I think it's just the internet connection. It's not super good, but can just just give me a moment. I'll open that. There it is. Okay. All right. Okay, can you see the slides now? And I'll
Yes,
scroll.
we were here.
Okay.
So then the idea is to start from a relevant set of documents in format of PDF, Markdown, HTML, text file, and then proceed through the step of chunking, embedding, and then building this vector database. And then when the user ask their query, there is basically the need to retrieve information from those dedicated sources and then use it to provide the final answer. Okay, next slide. Okay, so then ARCHI is compatible also with different LLMs. So from one side, there is basically OpenAI. And on their side, we have all this other open source part like Llama, Hugging Face, LangChain. And what we saw, so OpenAI, of course, we can interact with it, is ready to use it, cannot perform in some area. But on the other side, having this open source LLM give us flexibility, cost saving, and also customization, and also security control of the information that goes in. Next slide. So what we try to do is also interface with different tools that are used for every day on the research. So first the help desk and views for sample ticketing system like Clio, Redmine, or Jira. Various chat for like Slack, Mattermost, Discourse, and Piazza. Then some of the documents, for example, are behind the CERN SSO. So we have an interface to interact with this and also to retrieve information from the web. And as I said, so the files that are also can be injected in the container because this is a containerized basically deployment. Basically, we can inject and read Markdown and the Python files. Okay, next slides. So these were the basic elements that we try to do. So now I will go over kind of two pilot projects, and then the next one we are trying to develop now. So first we deployed in the previous academic year for classroom, for example, for general mechanics. In this case, we were able to give both small documents, but also full text size textbook. And the student and Archie interact in the Piazza forum. And basically Archie is a plugin that helped to prepare the answer basically to those questions, and act basically as a tutor for students and to reduce the load of TA and lecturing and support staff. And it's been used with the goal of not only answer frequently asked questions, but also to help with the real PSET and add in the learning exercises. Now, for what we saw, there are a few challenges that need to be addressed in the next iteration for next classes, for example. So one thing is the content evolution. Past knowledge is relevant, but of course, like the content evolves, and using the old one can lead to misleading answers. In some cases, it makes sense also to wait responses. Because, for example, if there is an expert answer, can be more usable than a general tutorial that was prepared and get from the web. And also new information that are added year by year can be more relevant than the one of previous year. And then, of course, you don't want to reveal the full answer to the solutions of the PSET. So it should be a way to avoid some issues. And yeah, so those are the things that I've tried to incorporate and control in the next version. So next slide. So we have another project that we successfully, for which we used this Archie. So we have an analysis facility at MIT that is for the full physics department. And we designed it is very flexible in terms of storage, computing, software, and so that the user can utilize basically according to requirement. And here, the LLM helps in two ways. In one way, helps the expert to handle the tickets that are submitted. And in the other side is also from user point of view is useful because they can directly ask a question how to do one thing or why it doesn't work. So next slide. So let me give you a concrete example. Here I simply asked the one thing that is basically how I can install my collaboration-wide software and the custom library and package to do my own analysis. And then the Archie basically answered in the various ways that we provide. So they can be, what is the pre-installed software we have, the containers, the CVMFS, and this answer is basically trained on the user guide, the GitHub example, and also past submit tickets. And also you can see this at the bottom of the page that you can basically, the user can find easily the query for the prompt. Okay. Next slide. I compared this another question in ChatGPT versus Archie. And here I was asking basically the most wanted things people want to know, how I can get an account to submit. If you are not, for example, MIT, you don't have an ID, so how you do? So the question on the left is from ChatGPT. It's correct in the sense that you need to get a sponsored account, but it's too vague because this will ask for sure how I'm going to do, I'm going to require my SSH key and on so forth. And then instead the plot, the picture on the right shows the detailed question from Archie. That basically all the steps the user will have to do, and actually he can directly save time because basically he already pre-compiled all needed. Yeah, so in this case, clearly Arch is useful in reducing the time, the various follow-up question. Okay, then the last slides on exactly Arch. So this is an easy way to deploy. So first you go in the GitHub area, you download the code, and then you basically build your image, and then you can configure in this YAML file the few parameters you want to do, which way is the LLM or which are your documents, so on and so forth. So for now, it runs inference on dedicated hardware. So we have two NVIDIA Tesla V100. And then what you see in the bottom right is the way we access the various metrics. And we have basically Grafana interfacing this for us. Yes, next slide, thank you. So now, given the expertise and the experience we got from the classroom and the analysis facility, so we were trying to thinking how we can extend to CMS. So there are two areas where this can be useful. So one area is operations. So our group is responsible for tier zero data management. So this comes naturally in play. Tier zero is where basically the raw data they go out of our experiments, CMS, and then they get reconstructed. And then in the other completely opposite case is that we want to use it also at the end of analysis chain. So the user gets a very pre-compiled formats for analysis, and basically how can use the standard package like Root or Python-like environment. So in the first case, in operation case, all the documentation are internal to CMS. So these are not available to ChatGPT. And so this is clear case where if you go to ChatGPT, basically the answer just doesn't know. And this Archie can facilitate the onboarding on new members, because those are shifters that basically maybe stay there for 2 weeks and then they go. So this knowledge is to be passed. And then can be assistant, for example, for numerous Jira tickets that people submit, or Mattermost to various organization, for example, the shift itself. And then also to have it to spot anomaly in the monitoring system. So next slide. Because I actually, as was also mentioned in before, so you want to basically an agent that beyond generating response can also take a decision and perform a task autonomously. So this is the direction we are trying to explore now, maybe something more in the future when we sort it out. Okay, next slide. Yeah, so then let's come to the other use case, and in the end user analysis, all the documentation of our standard package are public. And so here already ChatGPT knows a lot of stuff, but still we can help to provide context aware format. And can be the chatbot can provide more specific CMS example or be assistant, for example. Often we give tutorials to newcomers, and behind the simple exercise, the students, they are fresh, they ask basically, and they can ask the charge now what basically to do, how to address a problem. And also we want to use it as analytics, in sense that we want to spot the area where we want to improve the setup. Okay, next slide. Okay, these are a lot of, in this picture you have here, it's basically tell you all the package that in principle you need to use to do your end analysis. And also you don't do analysis often on one place, but you do analysis actually in various facilities that we have in CMS, for example, CERN, Swan, CMS Atlas, but also there are others that are being developed and also are being developed in a slightly different way. So then it's true That's a lot of documents is already available in the web, but so we don't need to implement all this. But in addition, Archie can use all the user expert chat and various tutorial recipe. So next slide. And for example, most of communication happen on Mattermost. It's impossible to go and retrieve already 1 year of chats. So what I've done here is basically summarizing the area where people ask questions. And you can really understand that, for example, you can, I mean, it's better you address the most recurrent questions so that efficiency is improved. And for this, we can, for each specific subject, we can inject dedicated information, answer directly this actually Mattermost. And then mostly what we saw also in the analysis facility that the feedback loop, when it's incorporated, it just improves things over time. And then also find a way to, if some document is not complete and some question gets repeated, that means that this existing information is not fully, and then we need to find a way to enhance. And you want to do this automatically. So one example in next slides. So I asked a simple question. This is actually before injecting the real dedicated material, let's say. So how I do set up my COFIA is one of our programs on LX Plus, and LX Plus is one of the facility for computing at CERN. So the answer he provided looking the web at the beginning is correct, but it's very generic. It's basically the same as ChatGPT. But then this question actually was asked in this Mattermost channel, and you see that the beginner user asked, and then the expert replied. And it's basically, they just said, instead of rebuilding your thing, you just source a file and everything is much easier. So the goal of Archie will be, for example, in this case, tailor the question for beginner and expert so that it addresses better the audience. Okay, next slide. So I'm going towards concluding my talk. So Archie comes with a unique set of advantage. I think I tried to show you that it's fully customizable, use open source, and so for this is also secure. And then try to interface with many services as you need, and also you can reach it fast. Okay, next slide. This is really a conclusion. So then I showed that this has been used in the context of education and research, and we are extending to operation. And the real key part here is that it's a common framework that has been constantly developed and multiple instances that basically teaching each other. Okay. This was my talk.
All right, thanks, Maria Rosaria. Yeah, we open for questions from the audience. So any question? Maybe I can start with one just related with this last slide about the educational aspect of the sort of first project you presented. So you mentioned students are using this platform as a sort of to substitute some AT. And so how does it exactly work? Like, is it just like they're using the platform to get answers to like doubts, or is this also a platform where like through which they try to solve problems like exercises or this kind of things? So to which extent, let's say, the tool is used in the class?
Yeah, I think it's more on the part of asking questions and not the platform for really solving them. But Christoph knows better because he was running those classes, probably.
Yeah, so there's actually two different ways that this has been used. So A, we have in the beginning of the semester made sure that people are aware that they are allowed to use large language models as long as they make sure when they use it that they actually note down that they did use this for various things. Of course, the problem sets are not the entire grade, so we've explained them. It's in their interest not to just use it and then basically also believe it, right? Because, well, it might actually be wrong, and then they get into all kinds of problems and they're not really learning anything. So that was number one. Number two is we did an exercise in which we let every student ask kind of like the same question and let them interact with the large language model that was actually, that just contained the information from the class as the addition. And it was supposed to then answer what the result, what actually the answer to the question is. And the student were supposed to take that answer and then discuss it in detail in the, as one of the problems. Now, in some cases, the answer came out to be wrong, and others it came out right. And they were supposed to kind of explain the answer and make sure that they either trust it or not, because we believe one of the most important things is to be critical and be able to distinguish between whether it's correct or not, what the large language model tells you. And then, so that was really the main thing. There were a few other smaller things that we did, but these were the two main applications that we have for Archie.
All right, no, that's really interesting, because I think it's the only presentation today that talked about education. That's why I was very curious to hear more details. Yeah,
well,
I guess.
Of course, the students try to use it in different ways. It asks Archie, should I do my laundry today? And it has some really funny answers. So there was really an interesting type of interaction with this. And it was a positive experience, but there's a lot more that we need to do to make this more useful and make it really something that is helping the students to learn more. I mean, one of the interesting things is with, well, there's some studies, paper published on using large language models in teaching, is that the most important factor in learning with large language models, as funny as this might be, is the amount of time that the student spends with the model is pretty much proportional to how much they improve in their performance. Which is, of course, not surprising, because in the end, the student has to learn, and learning you can't do just by reading a sentence and then say, oh yeah, great, that's not enough. You have to actually interact with it. And so this is actually really, I think, what we have to build in, that we built in interaction where there is a back and forth and the student actually really has to say things and you read things and then go back and forth and have this type of discussion. So that's kind of something that we're kind of looking into, of course.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right. I don't know if there are other questions for the talk. I don't see any raised hand. Okay.
Yeah, maybe I have a quick one. Have you started the scraping CMS documents yet? Or what would be the plan there?
No, so we started to implement this SSO for example tier zero and data management. That's what you're asking, right?
And like, have you started trying to, you know, go through all the CMS tweakies and analysis,
yeah, so,
you know, all of CMS documents? Yeah.
Yes, so so for example, it depends on the specific application instance. The best set of documentation is one or the other. For example, there is a lot of Jira tickets for operation stuff, so not really many tweakies. So this we started to do, and as I said, it was beyond the SSO. But in general, yes, the application drives the type of documents and what it does.
Maybe I can make a quick comment about this. I think Maria Rosaria said it in her talk, but I think just kind of pull it out here again for making that even more clear, maybe. So when you say CMS Twiki, the publicly available Twikis, ChatGPT or Claude or any of the major models, they know all of this information. They've scraped the web. They have that information. As long as you give it a detailed enough question, it will give you the correct answer. I think the key point for us here is to really enhance the model using the data that is really private, that you can't get at. So the specific example, if let's assume you're on shift, you're running DAQ shift in CMS at P5. And there is a long logbook for, well, the data acquisition, all of the problems that ever happened. When this entire logbook information has been fed to the model, then the shifter will be able to say, oh, I have this problem. And the model will be able to go through all of the documentation, find out what went wrong, try to see what was done in the past, and also point you directly into the logbook, which were the entries that were interesting to look at, so that the shifter comes in and can actually rely on somebody to talk to, well, something, whatever it is, and get actually an answer that is coherent and has actually the record, so that they don't need to look at the logbook for the last 10 days or whatever and try to see what were the most important kind of failures. And this, of course, is automatically updated all the time so that nobody has to take care of it. It's just automatically done. So that is really where I think the most powerful kind of impact of this setup will come about.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, I mean, any internal document, I was just wondering what the status was of the scraping. Like, do you have a database already? Have you done like one iteration?
No.
Sorry if I missed this in the talk.
Well, I think that we're not trying to create a database for all possible CMS internal documentation, because there's insanely many, and it's also eventually becomes not useful, because if you ask for data acquisition problems and you have an information which is about the paper process or the publication kind of policies, whatever, there's no connection and it's not needed. On the other hand, you see the important thing is, what Maria presented is a framework. It's an open source framework. So if you are interested in kind of a specific thing, you can basically just take this, install it, and you can put the information in, and then you can actually just run such a model, and then it will all work, right? So it's a framework. Everybody can kind of use it and just kind of do whatever they want with it. So for
yes.
The moment, we have a limited amount of people that work on this, and we have some specific projects, but infinitely many projects could be added to this in the end.
Yes, but also let me add one more point. So we are trying not to build a database of information, because what we are trying to do is to do web scraping of various things behind SSO. So in that way, if documents also get updated in the real place, then you just don't have to download them in your database.
All right. So it seems like the conversation sort of is transitioning towards more of an internal CMS one. So maybe this is like about the right time to kind of wrap up the workshop and move to the like final roundtable discussion internal to CMS for the CMS members that are still connected. So yeah, maybe we can just like thanks everyone at this point for joining workshop, and stay tuned for our next, let's say, bite of foundation models coming hopefully soon on one of the other themes of conversation we listed at the very beginning. And yeah, we'll just transition now to the internal roundtable. And I think Raghav is going to take over here. Yeah, I just want to, yeah, thanks once again.